This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Back with another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm your host, Nessie. I have with me Echo.
Hello.
Hello. She's Echo. Part two about mobility issues and arthritis and those type of deals. So I would like to tell you about a story of one of my favorite doctors. There was another person involved too. I don't remember who they were. But we were all on the floor in treatment with a dog. And he was doing the exam, and he asked me to get up and get something. He decided to cover it because it was a broken toenail, which is, yeah. So he said, and I was like, could you go get this or whatever? I don't remember what I was getting. I went to get up, placed my foot on the retractable leash, the case, cassette thing. Foot on the leash, got up, slid it out from under me. And Dr. White, he's a large man. He's 6'4". He's on all fours, like a tabletop position.
It's already fun.
And in order to save myself from dying and breaking my hip, I landed on Dr. White, who was holding this dog's paw. And he did I'm like, thanks for saving me. And he was like, maybe you could, learn to use your feet or something, huh? And I was like, I hope your back is okay. And I ran to go get the stuff, and we finished the foot. And I was like, but really, is your back okay? Because that was a lot of me that just landed on your back. And he's like, I'm glad you're okay. He already had back problems, but that was probably a contributing factor to the later back problems. Catch a near employee.
I feel like you cannot escape the veterinary care industry without some sort of back issue. You just can't.
Even if it's from your coworker landing on me. And by the way, if you happen to hear this one, shout out to you. Thanks for breaking my fall that day. You're a real one.
Nasty.
Son.
A real what?
A one. A real one. I don't know. Don't ask him what the term means.
Oh, okay.
You know?
It's a good thing.
It's what the cool kids say.
Oh, what?
I just know that it's a good thing.
Okay, I don't want to be bamboozled by new slang.
Bamboozled by all the slangs.
So we're talking about mobility again. Do you have any pets with any mobility issues?
Well, my male dog, Attila the Hun.
Attila the Hun.
Thank you. And Xena the Warrior Princess.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Attila and Xena for short, obviously.
Obviously.
But
he's your cat.
Okay. Girlfriend!
Oh, I was expecting Alexander the Great.
No. It's girlfriend, but you have to sing it.
Girlfriend!
Okay.
Try. Girlfriend!
Yes.
Okay.
If you are girlfriend, she's not coming. But girlfriend! That's her name. Her name is the song.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
My cats respond very differently. Each of them. Yep. There's just a lot of funny noises around my house.
So, actually, for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I'm gonna try a little schmoozing.
Okay.
Did she answer the question already? Because if you did, I forgot. Did we have a question?
Yeah, I asked if any of your pets had any mobility.
Oh, I forgot. I got involved with their names. He is 10 now, and so he's a little bit slow getting up and down, and it's probably about time. His last exam in July, I didn't show, any range of motion problems or anything, but I'm gonna assume probably by his next visit we'll probably get him on something. Mm-hmm. And you?
Not currently. No, even I started with Samantha is my German Shepherd. She's a mix, but she's got that look, you know. She's a pretty good dog. Pretty big dog. I started her on joint supports when she was 4, just kind of preemptively, and her primary vet at the time was all for it. Chetney Pakapi is my little guy. He
gets around too. He was kind enough to step on the laptop and everything.
Yeah, he kind of ruined our recording last time. But he is 14. I got him a year ago, and he wasn't on anything for joints or anything. So I did put him on some anti-inflammatory joint supports and stuff, just kind of right out the gate. As far as I know, he's never had x-rays for arthritis or anything, but we talked about it, you know, just as pets age, they just have like some natural calcification of their joints and stuff. So I kind of am really, really big believer in preemptively getting him on supports. And then when the primary vet agrees to go ahead and start, you know, anti-inflammatories.
So roses are red. No. They're not this time. They are, though. Roses are gray. Violets are gray. Everything is gray because I'm a dog. I do think that one's entirely true.
No,
I think they can see some colors, but the idea behind it is very cute. Also, your bark is contagious.
My bark?
Your bark is contagious. That also could be kennel cough, so.
I gotta be careful on that.
Yeah.
Could take my Bordetella.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. So, last time we talked about general arthritis, hip dysplasia, we talked about CCL tears. Let's start today with talking about luxating patella.
Mm. Any experience with those?
I do. Not myself personally.
Yeah.
But my little dog, he's gone now. His name was Sam Lotarly. Lotarly, I called him Tater. He had luxating cells, both knees. And so the patella, we did briefly kind of touch on last time. The patella is the kneecap. In a normal stifle joint, in a normal knee joint, the patella sits in this groove in the femur. The patellar tendon attaches the patella to the tibia. And the patella and the patellar tendon and the thigh muscle, which is the quadriceps, those all form the extensor mechanism, and they're usually well aligned. But a luxating patella is when the patella luxates, or it dislocates, and it moves outside of the femoral groove. It can move medially or laterally. Do you want to define medial versus lateral?
Medial is when you move inward, as to where lateral is more outward.
Yeah. So a good way to remember that is if something is moving medially, it is moving toward the median of the body or the center of the body, and laterally is away from center. So it's more toward the outside. But
moving outward.
Yeah.
I don't find that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Early signs of luxating patella in dogs will be seen as a little skip. So like when the dog carries one limb in the air for a few steps, and that's what little Tarly did. He would just be bopping along, and then he would just kind of like he would just kind of do a little skip on one of his back legs. And he had luxating patellas in both back legs, so he kind of skipped on one leg and skip on the other. It was real cute, but I mean, you know, as the disease increases in severity, you'll see noticeable lameness and an increase in consistency as well. According to the American College of Veterinary Surgery, this is one of the most common orthopedic conditions in dogs, and it results in discomfort and loss of function. I was reading that happens primarily in small dogs, which makes sense because little Tarling was 15 pounds at his healthiest. It is diagnosed in 7% of puppies. That was a big number for puppies.
I feel like I don't remember any puppy exams that I've been part of so far that they've diagnosed a luxating patella at this point. But okay, I mean, 7%, when you think of the amount of puppies that come, right, it's not that big of a number.
7% sounds low, but I was more surprised that it was even a measurable number in puppies. Mm-hmm. I would have expected this to be something that would develop, but it's not necessarily exclusive to, you know, developmental. It's, sometimes they're born with it.
Sometimes can they lean? A lot of time it is.
So puppies that have luxating patellas can appear bow-legged in smaller breeds and knock-kneed in larger breeds.
I love knock-kneed.
Knock-kneed. And it does worsen with roof.
Do you know how they grade luxating patellas?
I don't.
Oh, score of 1 to 4.
Oh, okay.
So 1 and 2 being the low end, and they're like the more mild cases.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 and 4 being the ones that surgery is recommended for, because it can start to affect the quality of life of the patient, just because of the pain that the knees will be in.
Yeah. And don't they get stuck too? Like the patella can get stuck outside of the
yeah, and that's very
femoral groove. Yeah.
But the ones and the twos could escalate to three and the fours and need surgery correction at some point anyway. So it's really important to monitor them and do what you can to support their knee health.
So I've never actually heard of surgery to fix luxating patella. I always just kind of thought it was something that they just had. They just
thought with. Yes. Lateral suture is used to treat patellar luxation.
Patellar luxation is relatively rare in cats, according to an AVMA article that I was reading. In cats, it happens due to congenital deformation or to trauma. They said that congenital deformation is believed to be more common, and there's a weak connection that exists between feline patellar luxation and hip dysplasia. If symptoms are seen in cats, it's most often seen as a shuffling gait or as lameness, though frequently enough, feline patellar luxations are often an incident of YG.
Yeah, we haven't seen too many of those cases. When we do see cats, a lot of the times for any type of mobility issue, it turns out being that we found some arthritis on an annual exam that the owner wasn't even aware of, or they came in for limping and they have like a fracture of some kind or something weird like that. We don't, as I mentioned in the other episode, we don't see as many cats as we do dogs. So we don't see all that much arthritis compared to what we see with dogs.
Sure. Yeah. I just thought about this. If anyone doesn't know what we mean by incidental finding, you just happen to find it. It's not what you're looking for. It's something that a doctor might notice on a physical exam.
You're here for your annual checkup, and while you're there, they're listening to the heart. They happen to hear a murmur for the first time, and they grade that out. That's an incidental finding. That's not what you were there for.
Yeah.
The same with the physical exam, checking the knees and stuff, and that's when they happen to find a luxating patella this time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't noted before. You're not in for limping.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a review.
Well, let me lay one on. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I am always scared when you say that. This is a review for the Mid Best on Amazon. It's a cold laser therapy device for vet, red light therapy for dog and cat, infrared light therapy target joint muscles, pain relief arthritis, spinal wound healing.
This is the red light from the review from last episode.
I didn't find it because of that. It just went down the rabbit hole of later. So this could be the red light one.
Could be.
They got her one star from a different person, though. So
not the same.
Okay. Right, same person. This is Georgina.
Oh.
It's the night when the red lights went out in Georgina. Yeah.
That was a good stretch.
Those red lights there. The red light special. That's a little TLC. We're getting a little off topic.
That's okay.
Verify purchase one star. Georgina said, where are the how-to instructions?
Oh, no.
Only instructions provided were charge device before use, turn on, and caution. Nothing provided on how to use it on your pet. Nothing. I can't figure out how all the five-star ratings figured out how to use this on their pet. Anyhow, this is useless for me unless some guidance is provided. Hopefully, I can return it.
Okay.
There's all these five-star reviews on here. How do they even know how to use this thing?
So,
you know, these directions just have a bunch of cautions on it. And they tell you to charge it.
Like, that's a good step one. Good step two.
And that's it. And that's it. And caution, 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 caution.
Yeah. Any product that has a ton of cautions on it does make me a little bit apprehensive.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's a lot of power tools right there.
I get people who ask all the time, how do you find these reviews? I never see crazy stuff like that online. I am chronically reading reviews because you gotta like scroll through and get through the nitty gritty of things. You know what I'm saying? It takes
stuff.
It takes time and dedication to dig these out.
That's really good. And I'm glad that you're the one that wants to dig for those. I'd rather do the research part.
I have some really great things off of Nextdoor.
Thought of Nextdoor.
They be wild, but I haven't yet needed to dip into that research.
You just got a plenty. You just got a plenty.
I've got plenty. But I am very excited about these Nextdoor ones that I found.
Yeah.
They don't relate to this episode, so they'll be all about episode.
Okay.
But people just be crazy online.
That is one read that Stacey tells me all the time. You know, she's like, have you heard this? And I'm always like, nope. And she goes, because you're not chronically online.
I'm not either. The only social media I do is for the podcast.
Oh, really?
I'm just not. Okay. I don't have the TikToks. In fact, when I told my nieces, when I was like, hey, are you guys on that TikTok? And they were like, oh my God, Nessa, first of all, it's TikTok. And secondly, you sound like an old lady right now.
And so, thank you for that.
And because my dad used to be like, the MySpacers, the internet. You know, like, and so I was like, oh my God, Dad.
Yeah.
Get off the phone. I want to get on dial up.
I'm expecting a really important call. Get off AOL.
That's right.
It was the CDs they sent you.
Mm-hmm.
All the projects people made.
The AOL noise. Like when you're first logging in, that crazy noise. I will never forget it.
I did forget it.
Oh, kidding. You're so lucky.
I hear it. Dial-up sound.
Let's move on to IVDD, which stands
for IVDD. Yeah, you know me. You know it's IVDD.
I don't know that song very well.
Yeah, with OPP. You know OPP. Yeah, you know me. There's IVDD.
Yes, it's better your version for sure.
I don't know what an OPP is.
Oh, well, maybe we should Google it so it's not something offensive.
Old popping lip popper.
Oh, you know what? You know how I know this song? It's from Sister Act 2. When that one guy starts singing the song, he's like, get down with G-O-D. Yeah, you know.
Like, yeah.
I think as long as we change up the letters, it can't be offensive.
And a lot of these people out here probably don't even know that song. It's from like the 1900s.
It's by Naughty by Nature. What does OPP stand for?
Dave, drop a load on him.
Sounds dirty.
Please don't drop loads on people.
O is for other, P is for people. Scratch your temple, the last P. Well, that is not simple. It's sort of like, well, another way to call a cat a kitten.
What was the O again?
Other? People.
What in the world? Let's stick with IVDBD being... Get down with IVD.
Oh my goodness.
This is wild. I am naming this episode IVDD.
Get down with IVDD.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me.
All right.
If you didn't, you do now.
It's more subtle than. Was that Lizzo?
Yeah. Pour me a glass, boy. I like my water wet. I still have trouble with that. Like, why are we doing that? Well, water isn't wet.
It's a solid question. So IVDD is a degenerative disease that affects the spinal cord, and it causes an entire range of very painful mobility issues. So a healthy animal spine is made up of the spinal cord, just surrounded by vertebrae, which are the backbones. And in between each vertebra bone are these little gel-filled discs. And these discs cushion the vertebra, kind of like shock absorbers, and they allow the animal to bend and to flex their spine. And that's a healthy spine. But these discs in between the vertebrae can calcify with age. Do you want to talk about what calcification is?
When you have calcium that forms in and around the tissues, making it firm up and whatnot?
Yep. It causes them to kind of
find... My definition is not nearly as sophisticated as what you'll find online.
It's called
the Dictionary of Nessie.
That's a great dictionary.
And what it is a little hood, a little simplified, a little inaccurate.
But you need to understand.
For the simple folk. As myself. This is wild and gone in a direction I'm quite fond of. So I'm going to continue with the more acceptable definitions.
You're spot on, really. It just means that calcium builds up in the tissues and it causes them to harden. Sometimes a pet can have like a traumatic injury or like a disc could just rupture, which puts pressure on the spinal cord. And this causes pain and neurological signs and can cause paralysis. According to Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine, IVDD is the most common source of paralyzing back pain in dogs.
Do you know how young the dog can be, a dachshund especially, where you can start noticing signs of it?
I'd imagine pretty young, pretty quickly.
You can start seeing signs of it about 2 years old.
Oh, okay. 2 years old.
The dog was there. It's not saying that they're going to start having back problems then, but you can start to see the lessening of flexibility and signs of some breakdown in the spine in as early as 2 years old.
Mm.
That's one of the things with dachshunds. Their breed is just known for this issue.
Yeah. Most commonly seen in... dachshunds, beagles, Pekingese, shih tzus,
Basset Hounds, or American Cocker Spaniels, but it can occur in dogs of any breed. Carolina veterinary specialists listed the most common breeds, and gap dachshunds are very much number one. The symptoms really can range according to where the spine is affected and the severity of it, but common signs, I have a really big list of common signs. Head held low.
Down your head held low, does it wobble to and fro? Can you tie in a knot? Can you tie in a bow?
Probably not if you have IDDD. I that's too many D's.
A lot of D's I like. Well. This is the fan of the show.
Not if we're going to be singing a song by Naughty by Nature.
We did not. We changed it to one about the hernia.
I think it's by nature. Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, I do know you.
You're right.
Your name is Echo.
That's right. Head held low, arching back, shivering and crying, reluctance to move, unstable when standing, knuckling of all four paws. Do you want to talk about what knuckling is?
That is when their feet are turned upside down.
Conscious
proprioception.
Yes, proprioception. I have never used that term myself.
Yes. Well, every time he says it, I know exactly what he's talking about. I never use the word.
Yeah.
But it's when you take the paws and you tip them under itself, and if the dog knows where his feet are and he knows that their feet aren't supposed to be that way, he can correct them.
Mm-hmm.
And if he cannot, usually there's a nerve factor involved where he's not aware of how his feet are and how to place them correctly.
Yes. So that's knuckling. Because when you flip those feet, they are basically putting their weight on the knuckles instead of the paw pads. So that's why it's called knuckling.
Really walking like a chief. Yeah.
Yes.
And actually, I think you're supposed to call in the people if he caves now or something. I don't know.
Oh, really?
No. No. I don't know. I think caveman's considered offensive now, but I'm not sure.
Who's going to be offended by that? The cavemen are all gone.
I don't know, but I don't want to get canceled for saying it.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
So if there are any cave people around that were offended by that,
any Neanderthals,
I am so sorry, and I shall supply some logs for your fire. Maybe a new sharp axe that you can collect your own
fire. Any troglodytes listening to her? Some other common signs of IVDD in dogs: the inability to feel all four feet, muscle spasms, tense belly, crossing their back legs when walking.
I've seen that. Very unusual.
I've not seen that. That I'm curious about that one. Dragging toes when walking, a limp tail, difficulty jumping, and incontinence. The Central Texas Veterinary Specialty and Emergency have a page about IVDD in cats. They say it's really rare in cats, but when it does present, symptoms are often seen in middle-aged and older cats that tend to be neutered, indoor, and high on the BCS scale. And I don't think we've talked about the BCS scale yet.
Right.
Do you want to briefly talk about what that means?
That's the body condition score scale, and it's 1 through 9, with 1 being more towards anorexic and 9 being towards obese. Ideal is 4 and 5.
Yeah,
I forgot that part.
Yes. So high on the BCS scale means overweight or even obese. If a cat gets diagnosed with IVDD, it's usually found in their lower lumbar spine, and their symptoms can include weakness in the back legs, dropped rear end, a weakened or even paralyzed tail. And as with all pets, it could be pain.
Ah, well, shall we review? This is Pet Pain Away, and it is a homeopathic anti-inflammation for joints and stuff that we found in the ingredients. The active ingredient is Asian viper venom.
Cobra venom?
Yeah, Asian cobra venom. Mm. Cobra viper, they're all the same to me. I'm not a fan of snakes.
That could kill me.
So,
that's fair.
This is a 1-star from Holly Jolly Christmas.
Is she a 1-star review?
The 1.
So she's not very jolly.
No, she's the 9. Also, it's not close enough to Christmas for her yet, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, she's Holly frustrated.
Holly frustrated. And it didn't work. My dog just got lethargic from it, and now I can't get him to stop sending it. No phone number. Nothing. Help!
She can't get her dog to stop sending us.
Okay, so her dog got lethargic, she's not using it. Now she can't get the people that she ordered it from to stop sending it. And she has no number to call to get them to take it off of the automatic renewal or whatever.
So
she says, help, in all capital letters. Nothing is helping her. They just keep sending her all these bottles of this stuff that she's not using.
That sounds like a scam. You ever get, like, taken in by one of those scams? Like,
I have been scammed.
Yeah. That, like, they're like, hey, you know, you need more energy, or you want to lose weight, or you want to whatever. Like, take these pills. The first bottle is free. But then, like, they just automatically keep sending it to you, even after you're like, this is snake oil, this is junk, this doesn't work at all. Like, hey, stop sending it. And they're like, too bad, we already sent it, we're charging you now. And you're like, no.
So I don't think she got it off of Amazon. I think she got it because it was a made-for-TV product before it made it to Amazon.
Ah.
I looked it up. And so I think she ordered it from them, and now they keep automatically once a month send her another bottle. Okay. And she can't get them to stop it. And so she went to Amazon to tell them that they won't stop sending it and ask Amazon for help.
That is a way to do. I don't know if that's the most effective way.
Can't you just get the bank to stop it?
That's what I was just thinking. Like, you just tell the bank, hey, this is a scam. Please stop.
I'd like to stop paying.
Like, I cannot pay them anymore.
I've never once been like, you know what? I bet Amazon can help me.
Amazon has a really, really good customer service.
Right. If they bought the product through them.
Right.
You did it. They'll reach out and be like, listen, got this made-for-TV product. It's not doing its thing. They won't quit, you know?
Yeah.
Can you just get on to them for me? I know that you are the Amazon overlords. And I just know that Bezos is here for me.
Is he?
Well, I'm really sorry you keep getting snake venom.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about that product. That's just wild to me. Wild.
So, until this moment, is this normal?
We are moving on to degenerative myelopathy. This is not a fun one. Do you know what degenerative myelopathy is?
When the joints and stuff are degenerating, like in the back and the hips.
I mean, yeah, they're like,
they can no longer at one point get up anymore, and you have to get them in special slings and wheel carts and stuff.
It's a fatal degeneration of the spine. Yeah, so it starts in the hind limbs, and then it does progress to all limbs.
We knew a dog that on this.
He was my guy. He was
best German Shepherd I've
ever. It really was. Like, the nicest dog and the most wonderful family. It was a sad day.
I was there for the euthanasia with the family and tell me all her favorite stories.
Oh, I would attend.
Just told me about how naughty he was as a puppy.
No.
Troublemaker. 2 years old, he finally became a nice dog.
I feel like that's about the time that Stacey stopped complaining about her border collie puppy too. 2 years old. Up until about 15 years ago, the cause of degenerative myelopathy was unknown. But in 2009, a mutation was found in a specific gene called the superoxide dismutase 1, which is really fun to say.
Wow.
It's also called the SOD1 is the name of the gene. SOD1. And this mutation was described to underlie the cause of degenerative myelopathy. So dogs that have two copies of the mutated gene, right, one from each parent, they are at risk for developing degenerative myelopathy. But not every dog that has two copies of the mutated gene will get it. They're just at risk for it. According to the University of Missouri, mutations in this gene are associated with some forms of human ALS as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, that was really interesting.
Very interesting.
But as stated, degenerative myelopathy is ultimately fatal. And the onset is typically about 9 years of age. It can start with some ataxia and spastic limb weakness. Do you want to define ataxia?
Ataxia is when they walk around like they're drunk.
Yeah. It's like poor muscle control and clumsy movements, a lack of coordination.
Once again, Nessie Dictionary.
The Nessie Dictionary.
Slow dog walk. A taxi. I feel bad for everybody who takes a page out of Nessie's dictionary. It gets me through, and I know what I'm talking about, but whether I can convey my thoughts appropriately to someone else, I don't know.
That's why I have to write all my notes down. I'd just be like, just telling stories the whole time.
Which I like when you remind me of something that I have in my noggin that I can use.
I like that too.
I rely on that. I have vital informations.
That's right.
That are worded terribly.
But well understood.
For the people.
And the pets.
And the pets.
For everybody. Just everybody.
Well, Well, this episode has gone just all the way sideways.
The first noticeable stage of degenerative myelopathy is going to be dragging nails when walking. Then that progresses to hind limb weakness and progresses to incontinence, and eventually it will lead to difficulty swallowing. The first time you see your dog dragging his nails when walking, that's a sign that you need to pay attention to and start a conversation with your veterinarian about it, because if we are looking at a progression of degenerative myelopathy, that is something that is pretty quickly fatal as well. The University of Missouri says that the disease does not seem to cause any pain to the pet, which is one of the few mercies, I think, with this disease. But most pets will be completely incapable of walking within a year of initial signs. That's hard for dogs like German Shepherds that are very big. I mean, once they can't walk anymore, most of those dogs you can't just pick up and go. You know, if you have that in a Shih Tzu, well, that's one thing. You know, you can pick them up and help them. But with big dogs, it's a lot more difficult. The progression is so fast and they go downhill, unfortunately, very quickly.
We need some joy.
We need some joy. I'm in this place.
That's right.
I'm in that place. Woo! I'm a fan of the view.
So
I'm a fan of the view. This is another one for the Venom.
Another one. People had a lot to say about this product.
It's a one-star review from Richard Riches.
Richard Riches?
Yeah, he's a very cool guy.
All right.
All natural, ? Maybe, but... ... I don't know what's going on with this title. I'm very confused.
That was just the title?
Yeah.
Richie Rich is a little confused.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 types of punctuation in the title.
In just the title.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack in just that. But let's see what he says. I saw this advertised on TV. It wanted to help ease my very senior cat's obvious pain. When I got the product, I was shocked and horrified to see that the active ingredient was snake venom. What does homeopathic mean anyway? Call me crazy, but I didn't want to take a chance that my 19-year-old cat would have a bad reaction, so I returned it.
That's a wise person right there. Good job, Richie Rich.
I can tell you what homeopathic means, if you're wondering.
Yes.
An alternative medicine based on the theory of treating like with like.
What? Treating like with like?
Yeah. Supposedly, it stimulates healing responses by administering substances that mimic the symptoms of those diseases.
What? I understand what you're saying. I do not understand how that works.
Well, I don't either. And apparently, they don't either. What does homeopathic mean anyway? You ordered it. Didn't you think you should have looked that up for yourself?
I've always thought of homeopathy as like the
all natural way.
The body can cure itself. And so the only thing that the body really needs is like small doses of natural things, like vegetables and leaves.
It's like treating pain with pain. Treat your arthritis with burning, stinging pain from vampire venom. No.
Listen, if you know where to get vampire venom, you are going to make a killing.
Right.
Pun intended. Right.
All of that is good.
Over venom.
Good. Do you want to move on to something else that's equally sad? We're going to need another really good review after this one. This would be a really good time for a commercial.
Hey, that was a really good time for a commercial. Okay, bye.
Gifts for my pets.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pets. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to overthemoonjewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Chickens, they don't usually live in the yard, but when my Amazon delivery person opened the gate and Marilyn Monroe ran out, and she's kind of my spicy girl. I have a real long driveway. I mean, you know, you've been to my house. And so she was running, and I was just like, where are you going? This was one instance where the question of why did the chicken cross the road really did cross my mind, because there was no reason for it.
And we're actually live.
Anyway,
we did finally answer why the chicken crossed the road, in case you guys missed it, and you did.
You did. So sorry. All right, let's talk about feline aortic thromboembolism. I know, I hate this subject. This is another sad one, so we're going to need a good review after this. So feline aortic thromboembolism, it's also called FATE, F-A-T-E, and it's more colloquially called the saddle thrombus. It's a sudden, extremely painful, and life-threatening condition. So, do you want to break down what a thromboembolism is?
It is a blood clot that makes its way into the spinal cord and causes paralysis in the lower limbs.
You're very close. A thrombus is a blood clot,
yeah.
Right? And an embolism is a blood clot in a very bad place. Saddle is the place where the aorta splits into the left and right iliac arteries, so not quite the spinal cord. When the aorta splits, the left and the right iliac arteries go to the left and the right leg. So since those are the main blood supplies to each back leg, a thromboembolism.
Embolism? Thank you.
A thromboembolism. These are hard words. Mm-hmm. Like this from people who are in the business. Like these are hard words. So a saddle thrombus, thromboembolism, is when there's a blood clot in the aorta, gets to the place where the aorta splits into two smaller arteries. The clot stays right there because it's too big. It gets stuck where the main blood supply feeds the back legs. So then that causes a lot of problems, like right at that saddle area. Right,
paralysis, and paralysis. The limbs get cold, and they're in so much pain.
Yes. Dr. Wendy Brooks is a board-certified specialist in canine and feline practice, and she wrote an article for our favorite website, Veterinary Partner.
Yay!
She wrote about saddle thrombus, detailed out why this is such a devastating condition. I'm just going to highlight a few things about it. Most cats that have an episode of saddle thrombus will have an underlying cardiac disease, which is likely the reason why there was a clot in the aorta in the first place. Right? Saddle thrombus cuts off circulation to the back legs, which is why they get cold, right? And that causes tissue damage. The tissue damage generates a lot of toxic biochemicals. So when the clot dissolves, these toxic biochemicals are released into the cat's circulatory system, and that can be lethal even if there isn't heart failure. If the clot dissolves and the cat then recovers from this episode, there's still going to be after effects like heart failure, which will need to be addressed by a cardiologist, and tissue damage, which sometimes can show as loose skin or loose muscle or even as open wounds in extreme cases. That can require an amputation. Many cats, even if they recover from an episode of saddle thrombus, will die anyway. Some will be overcome by the heart failure. Some will throw another clot, maybe to the brain this time or to the lung, or from circulation of those toxic biochemicals from the tissue dam.
Have you seen saddle thrombus before?
I have. Yeah, I have too.
It was not a very nice kitty. We could barely even handle the kitty in the first place. So he had to be sedated, which he wound up being euthanized.
One of our doctors went on, I think it was her honeymoon, actually. And she was supposed to come back to work the next day, but she, like, rushed in here with her new husband and her cat, and they euthanized immediately. Like, it was a flurry around me, and I didn't know what was going on, but that's when I first learned what saddle thrombus was. It is heartbreaking. It's terrible. We need a funny review. We need to laugh.
I'm gonna help us out. I got a laugh for you.
Excellent.
This is called Dog Pain Away.
And the, oh no, this is different.
Is it the
same name as the
Cobra. That one is pet pain away. This is it treats arthritis, inflammation, joint pain, and decreased flexibility. Veterinarian approved, it says on here, which I don't know how they determine that.
Is it just one veterinarian that was like, hey, Bill, does this sound good? Lucky God.
Stamp it, get it out. One star review from Amazon customer, verified purchase.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to change Amazon customer to Amazonian or something. I don't know, something more exotic. Because Amazon customer sounds boring. So this is Amazon Warrior.
Okay.
Yeah. One star review. Verified purchase, called does not work. Tic Tacs work as well as this does. Used it for 3 weeks, saw zero improvement. Took my bulldog to the vet. They told us to grab 2 over-the-counter vitamins. A week later, he's doing great. And I paid way more for this than I did those vitamins. Don't waste your money.
Huh.
Now, first, I want to point out about Tic Tacs.
Mm-hmm.
The regular Tic Tacs do not contain xylitol. So, those ones probably were okay.
Mm-hmm.
But was he actually giving the dog Tic Tacs?
Do Tic Tacs now contain xylitol?
I think some of the more fancy, like when you get into like cherry flavor and strawberry flavor, I think those ones do, but the original regular Tic Tacs do not.
Okay.
And maybe that's what he was actually using. Sir, did you accidentally give your dog your Tic Tacs? There was zero improvement until he went to the vet, and the vet gave him recommendations.
Would he follow the vet's recommendation, the dog felt better.
Which is wild, because this says veterinary recommended on the bottle. And well, then he went to his actual veterinarian and it was not recommended.
Well,
it's crazy.
How do you know which vet is right and which isn't?
I'm going to trust the one that I went and see in person, because he's the one put his hands in his,
yep,
him or her.
Truth. Yep.
They're in the room in the situation. So I'm going to take their advice over whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever Bob they went and talked to,
mm-hmm,
that stamped to this bottle and was like, I approved it. It looks like a pill.
No, it's like a pill. That's for sure. There are a number of other mobility issues that we didn't cover in last episode in this one, but I think the two other ones that I feel like we see are like muscle atrophy, which is when muscles waste away due to age or illness or inactivity, and it just kind of makes the pet weaker and they can struggle to walk or run or jump like they used to. But neurologic disorders can also cause mobility issues too. And when certain symptoms are noticed, the pet should be evaluated by a veterinarian. What do you feel like are the most common, like, mobility-type neurologic symptoms? Like, things that you notice that are mobility issues that make you go, oh, that's neurologic.
The knuckling, mm-hmm, is a big one.
Yep.
Sometimes that ataxia is a pretty,
yeah,
good bit, that because it, like, especially if there's like a head tilt or something involved, yes, with that, that's throwing off their balance.
Circling was my main
circling,
constant circling. Weakness, I think, just in the hind limbs especially, can be a symptom of some neurologic disorders, muscle tremors, twitching, trembling, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I didn't have a whole lot on that quick little zippy bit.
It's all right. I like a zippy bit. This is 3 stars by Aldi for that same product.
I love their plum and goat cheese pizza.
What?
Aldi, the grocery store?
Yes.
They have a frozen pizza that is plums and goat cheese. It's really good.
Okay.
It sounds gross now that I say it out loud, but it is phenomenal. You can just trust me on that.
Believe you. I don't believe you. This is dog pain away again.
Okay, say one.
And this one's 3-star.
Oh,
okay. Verified purchase by Aldi. Not sure, since my dog can't tell me that she's feeling better and I can't see any difference. Wish I could write a better review, since I depend on them for everything that I buy online.
So this is either it works or it doesn't, and I'm not sure.
Right, which is why it's just a nice
middle one
there. And you're like, oh no, my dog can't tell me.
Do you have the overall stars of the product?
4.1.
Oh, so there are people that like it. Mm-hmm. Have you tried any of these products that you've been talking about?
These, no way. No way. I'm not into stool fine snake venom or snake oil or
any kind of this. Loves,
you know, turmeric with black pepper. They're just not really.
Like, put that on my eggs, please.
Oh, well, if you want me to try it as the seasoning for my eggs on the.
Does it comes in a capsule? You just open up that capsule, right, and just sprinkle.
Yeah. Wow. No, I have not. So
really, at the first sign of any of these mobility concerns, you know, the first step is always going to be to consult your vet. As someone who works with an orthopedic surgeon, like, what are the common recommendations or things that pet parents can do to help with their pets with any of these mobility issues?
First of all, if you have a pet that is suffering from arthritis, as we may have mentioned in that last song, if you paid attention, mm-hmm. age is not a disease.
Age is not a
right?
disease.
So arthritis is also not the end of mobility for your dog. It is important that even if you're used to maybe taking a dog on like a 3 mile walk or run or whatever every day, still take them, but cut that down. You don't want to go past a mile anymore. You want to keep it at a mile. But keeping them active is going to help a lot. Letting them get stiff and keeping them around the house more and more resting is not going to help. You want to keep those joints moving and warm
mm-hmm.
to a reasonable degree.
Yeah.
You want to incorporate fish oils.
Fish oils.
Yes. I always be getting my seasoning stuff around here.
Cocequin chondroitin, was that what you were thinking? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the common joint one.
Glucosamine, MSM, and chondroitin are the three heavy hitters of joint support.
So glucosamine is great, and it helps rebuild cartilage, right? Or helps with cartilage. The only thing is the dogs don't keep as much of it and use as much of it as you would have thought when you're giving them these supplements. They get way more out of the fish oils.
Really? I always thought fish oils were for skin and coat supplements.
They are great lubricant for their joints. And they have anti-inflammatory properties as well. But if you're going to start a pet on fish oil, you don't want to go straight to the recommended dose for their weight. You want to work your way up to it because you are going to wind up with runny stools.
That is very good to know. I didn't know any of that because you're just talking now, and I'm like, well, I should get some fish oils.
Yeah.
I always thought it was for skin and coat, but
it's skin, coat, joints,
everything. Yeah. Fish oil is not snake oil.
Fish oil is not snake oil.
Fish oil is the real stuff.
Yeah. I would go with that over the venom. Yeah. And work your way up to the recommended dosing.
Okay.
Or else you're going to have some running poops.
We had a dog. Her name was Pearl.
Pearl's a good girl.
She came in for surgery, and we've seen her for a lot of her rechecks, but man, does that dog smell like fish oil. They get fish oil, and
oh my gosh,
she stinks.
Yeah, I mean,
it's in her pores now.
Well.
I think you girl.
Bathe your dogs. Don't bathe them in fish oil, maybe. That doesn't have the same effects.
No, but it doesn't.
And then, of course, regularly taking them to get their physical exams with the doctor to monitor mobility and things like that is important. But
yes.
Yeah. Those are the big things. Keep them active. Offer some fish oil. And see you veterinary.
Yeah. Do you have one more review?
I do. I could find a swimmer. This one is back to those turmeric ones.
The turmeric and white black pepper.
Black pepper.
Curcumin.
It is 3 stars by the vegan.
Okay.
3-star verified purchase.
That makes sense.
It's called I Thought It Was Vegan Friendly.
Is it not?
I don't know.
It sounds like just spices. Remember for the Mexican chihuahuas?
I thought it was vegan friendly because it says no animal byproducts. I was happy and bought it right away. But most likely the chondroitin isn't from plant sources. So I assume I was misled and fed my healthy vegan dogs a non-vegan product.
How can you have vegan dogs?
I'm not sure. Plant-based proteins.
I mean, I know that
dogs are not meant to be vegan.
No. I mean, they're omnivores, right? They're not just straight carnivores, or yeah. Are they? I just did a quick Google search. Mm-hmm. And this says that chondroitin is derived from shark, bovine, or pig cartilage, but it can be produced synthetically. That sounds like you cannot get chondroitin from, like, plants.
Okay, I've never seen them eat food. Fruit. Well, I guess
they're grass. I've never seen them eat food.
I mean, well, like the plants and stuff is what I meant. They're not out here looking for a sap.
I mean, Sam chews on grass all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean.
It depends. Just because you might nibbles on some grass, I wouldn't figure. I have no
right, yeah.
for a carnivore.
But, so, like, you know, we give them snacks that are.
Is vegan friendly?
It can be synthetically derived. Like, you can make it synthetically. So, but it's not from plants. It's either from like an animal, like you were saying, it's like a cartilage. It's a key component of cartilage.
Well, even if it was synthetic, would it make it vegan?
Let's see here.
is.
Either way, you've ruined your vegan dogs.
Chondroitin vegan.
Google says yes, some synthetic chondroitin is vegan.
Girl, just look it up and make sure it was synthetic, okay? That way you can keep your vegan dogs vegan and out, you know?
Oh, dear.
All right, wrap up.
Vegan dog is jail.
Yeah. Is there anything new that you learned from this episode? Anything that sticks out to you or that you found particularly interesting?
Probably, I guess, clearing up exactly where that blood clot was very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never really dug that deep into it. I just knew it was a blood clot somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere bad.
That stopped the legs and whatnot.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had any experience with degenerative myelopathy before. Didn't even know what it was, so that was interesting. And then also to find out that one of my favorite patients had it. Like, I didn't have a good time researching some of these.
No. So, it's not great.
Yeah.
But there are things that we can do to help offer the best quality of life possible.
Yes. If you're a pet owner listening to this episode and you want to learn more about your pet, I know it can be difficult sometimes to distinguish which websites have accurate information and which websites will offer you some dangerous advice. But one of the best resources out there for you is going to be Veterinary Partner. We love Veterinary Partner. We are not sponsored by them, but that website has articles written by board-certified specialists specifically for pet owners. So if you're going to get on Google, definitely get on Veterinary Partner.
Mm-hmm.
Check there first. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so that's it. That's all we got. We will hit you up with a different version of a nice mobility song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Pulled out some interesting genres. Got some interesting dancings going as
well. That's right. That's right.
You can find our handles for our social medias and stuff in the show notes. And also the bibliography information is going to be there as well so that you can dive into some of these topics on your own if you'd like. If you wanted to email us, you can reach us at blah, blah.
How you spell blah, 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 blah?
B-L-U-H, I don't know.
That was close.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Here is the email address. It is letstalk@petliferadio.com. Come on, pet pals, let's have a chat.
And we can, if you find your own reviews that you think are funny, send them in. We'll use them on the show. We'll get you your credit. And that's it.
No, no, no.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, bye.
Bye.
Bones and joints, hip to hip. Dogs and cats, don't let it slip. Vet professionals got your back. Joint trouble can derail the track. These hips don't cry, they move smooth. Pain's a thief, let's find the groove. Don't do on a cactomy cause intact. Look at Fido running wild, jumping high like a carefree child. Paws and claws, they're not for show. Keep them healthy, let them grow. These hips don't cry, they move smooth. Pain's a thief, let's find the groove. Don't do on a cactomy claws intact. Carefree child. Paws and claws, they're not for show. Keep them healthy, let them grow. These hips don't cry, they move smooth. Pain's a thief, let's find the groove. Don't do on a cactomy claws intact. Age is wisdom, that's a fact. Senior pets deserve the best. Cherish them, let them rest.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.